Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya then suggested, if Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would like, I could bring him into a first-class sampradaya by offering him saffron cloth and performing the reformatory process again. Purport. The Bhattacharya wanted to reinstate Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu into the Saraswati Sampradaya because he did not like the Lord's belonging to the Bharati Sampradaya or Puri Sampradaya. Actually, he did not know the position of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not depend on an inferior or superior Sampradaya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead remains in the supreme position in all circumstances. Omagyan timirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshu militam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri taitanya manobhistam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantikam vandeham shri guru shri yuta padakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta, Namostute, Tapta Kanchana, Gorangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Grishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye, Vancha Kalpa Trubhyascha, Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Gahino yadi punarapi yoga patadiya samskara kariya uttama sampradaya sampradaye aniya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya then suggested, if Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would like, I could bring him into a first-class sampradaya by offering him saffron cloth and performing the reformatory process again. So, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya isn't yet a devotee of Krishna or of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he's judging him by kind of mundane standards, or at least by standards of the Varnashram Dharma, at least, and thinking that he requires some stamp of approval, or that he should be in a first-class sampradaya, not in what he considers anyway to be a second-class sampradaya. But of course, the Lord is never dependent on any designation. Just like we're dependent on so many designations, we're thinking of ourselves in so many different ways, like our gender, man or woman. We're thinking of ourselves as young or old, of one nationality or another nationality, educated or uneducated. So many designations, but the Lord is above all designations. Or you could say that all designations are within Him. But He's not dependent. He doesn't require some official stamp like you're in the highest sampradaya, the Saraswati sampradaya. He doesn't require that. So one point I was thinking of in relation to this, especially the purport, what Prabhupada says, is that he says, well, first of all, he says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. and then he says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead remains in the supreme position in all circumstances. So it doesn't matter what position he seems to be in, and we are all familiar with occasions where the Lord took a very humble position, a position of a servant. So many instances. Obviously, the most famous, I should think, is how he became the chariot driver, Partasarathi of Arjuna. That's a very humble position. Arjuna's fighting. He's the great warrior. He's the one in charge. And he has to inform his driver, his chariot driver, to go right, to go left. And how does he do that? He uses his feet. He kicks him on the right-hand side or on the left-hand side because his hands are full. He can't use his hands. He can't say, it's so noisy. He can't say to him, please turn right or please turn left. No, it's not that opportunity. He won't. It's not possible. It's too. There's tumultuous situation going on. So he kicks him on the right-hand side or the left-hand side, and then Krishna, of course, Krishna knows what to do anyway. So, but anyway, that's the position that he's taken. And then we can think of some other examples of the Lord appearing not to be in the supreme position in all circumstances. Like in the Rajasuya Yajna, what was the position that the Lord took? Washing the feet of the guests. Very humble position he's taking. How humble is Krishna? So for him, he's not. He doesn't demand respect. He doesn't expect respect. He just commands it. It just naturally. It doesn't matter what position he's in. He's always actually supreme, even though he appears to be in an inferior position. And I'm sure you could think of some more examples of that. But actually, the Lord also likes to not be in the supreme position. He likes to become subservient to his devotees. So that's, I thought, another point that we could have a look at. Although Prabhupada says the Supreme Personality of Godhead remains in the supreme position in all circumstances, actually, in many circumstances, he likes to become controlled in an inferior position, not just in terms of service, but and we can think of examples of that. But I thought I could just read from a few verses from the Adi Leela, chapter 4, which explains the appearance of the Lord and why he appears, because in that he explains this phenomenon. So, Lord Krishna thought, all the universe is filled with the conception of my majesty, but love weakened by that sense of majesty does not satisfy me. If one regards me as a supreme lord and himself as a subordinate, I do not become subservient to his love, nor can it control me. In whatever transcendental mellow my devotee worships me, I reciprocate it with him. That is my natural behavior. In whatever way my devotees surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Pitta. If one cherishes pure loving devotion to me, thinking of me as his son, his friend, or his beloved, regarding himself as great and considering me his equal or inferior, I become subordinate to him. So this is Krishna speaking. Regarding himself, so he's saying a devotee who thinks of Krishna as his son, his friend, or his beloved, regarding himself as great and considering me his equal or inferior, I become subordinate to him. So that's a wonderful, amazing thing. I don't know if there's any other tradition in the world or the universe which where that this conception of the Lord is present. Devotional service rendered to me by the living beings revives their eternal life. O my dear damsels of Raja, your affection for me is your good fortune, for it is the only means by which you have obtained my favor. And then he gives us another example where he likes to become inferior, which we're all very familiar with. Mother, speaking about Mother Yashoda, sometimes binds me as her son. She nourishes and protects me, thinking me utterly helpless. But Krishna likes to be helpless. Because then he can experience the unlimited love of Mother Yashoda. Just like, actually, we've all, hopefully, we've all experienced some degree of motherly love. you know, it's only possible because the child is utterly helpless. So the mother, a good mother, is naturally inclined to just do everything for that child and give unlimited love, regardless of the child's behavior. You know, even though they do so many unpleasant things, like produce unpleasant smells and substances and things, doesn't matter. So Krishna likes, and just like all living beings, like to actually be in this position where they're just dependent on the love of another. And then another example, my friends climb on my shoulders in pure friendship, saying, what kind of big man are you? You and I are equal. So if you become a gopa in Goloka Vrindavan, you can do this, carry Krishna on your shoulders. If my beloved consort reproaches me in a sulky mood, that steals my mind from the reverent hymns of the Vedas. Taking these pure devotees with me, I shall descend and sport in various wonderful ways, unknown even in Vaikuntha. I shall broadcast such pastimes by which even I am amazed. The influence of Yoga Maya will inspire the gopis with the sentiment that I am their paramour. Neither the gopis nor I shall notice this, for our minds will always be entranced by one another's beauty and qualities. So, that's a contrast to what Srila Prabhupada says, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead remains in the supreme position in all circumstances. Of course, he's always supreme, but he likes to take that inferior position. When there is pure love, of course, he won't take that position if there's not pure love. when I first, the main points for me in this purport is that Srila Prabhupada says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I don't know if any of you have read a book which is actually by Tamal Krishna Goswami and edited and completed by Graham M. Swaig, who is Garuda Peru, who's been here, given a number of classes here. So it was Tamal Krishna Goswami's dissertation, which he didn't finish because unfortunately he left this world in 2002 before. He wrote five chapters of his dissertation and he didn't produce the final concluding chapter, which he would have done if he'd come back to England because he was in Cambridge University. So therefore, Garuda Prabhu, he's produced this book with an introduction and a concluding chapter. But the interesting thing about it for me anyway, why it occurred to me, is because he says that Srila Prabhupada, basically this is called A Living Theology of Krishna Bhakti, Essential Teachings of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So there's one chapter which is entitled The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sambandha. And so in this, Tamal Krishna Goswami says that Srila Prabhupada has two Mahavakyas. I don't know if you've heard that term before, but he uses that here. Mahavakya. So Maha means great, and Vakya means speech or sayings. So two great sayings. And these sayings encapsulate the whole philosophy. It's like a sutra or a Mahavakya. Actually, in the Vedic tradition, these Mahavakyas are quite common. Shankaracharya, he had a Mahavakya, which was according to what Tamil Krishna Goswami is, Tattvam Asi, you are that. Of course, it's a Mayavadi thing, and there's probably something that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya would adhere to. Tattvam Asi. But there are many other sutras. In the Vedanta Sutra, for instance, Vyasadeva starts off with Atato Brahma Jigyasa. So, if you know this sutra, or if you know Vedic knowledge, then the sutra, or the Mahavakya, it actually opens up a whole world of meaning. So, that's the first one. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now that you have this human form of life, it is time to inquire about the purpose of life. Janmadyastya yataha, that everything actually emanates from the Supreme, from Krishna, actually. So, but you have to know you have to know the philosophy to unpack those sutras. So in the same way, Srila Prabhupada performed a great service because he had to preach in a place where actually people had absolutely no knowledge of Krishna, of who he was. And using Sanskrit terms would not have helped, especially at the beginning. So he could have used the word Bhagavan, which means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But instead of that, because obviously like Sanskrit is a closed book to most people. So he translated, he encapsulated the essence in one phrase, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that opens up a whole world of meaning, all about Krishna's energies, his different energies, and all his different expansions, like that. Which Tamal Krishna Goswami in this book he goes through in some detail. He unpacks it, and this was necessary so that people who are not from a Vedic background or Sanskrit background, they can actually understand this. So the first Mahavakya of Srila Prabhupada is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though it's a little bit cumbersome, people may think, but it actually is better that Western people, or any people actually, who take can understand it than just using the technically correct Sanskrit terms. Can anybody think what the other Mahavakya might be? Anybody else, ladies? What is the other Mahavakya, great saying of Srila Prabhupada, which he invented, basically? No, that could be another one. Yes, that could be another one. There's probably more than one, but there's two that he... anybody? Yeah. No, to be happy. No, that's more like a slogan or something. Devotional service. Devotional service. So basically, these are the two Mahavakyas that contributed a great deal to Srila Prabhupada's success in spreading Krishna consciousness throughout the world. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Sri Sri Gauri Tai Ki Jai. Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai. So that is one evidence of Srila Prabhupada's genius in being able to present to an audience who are completely unfamiliar with Sanskrit terms or terminology. So, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he didn't know the position of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, that's not surprising because, of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was a hidden avatar, Channa avatar. He didn't want to be thought of as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He wasn't advertising himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, usually.
So, I'm just going to speak about an occasion where actually he did reveal himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but it wasn't in public. So, it's in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adikand, chapter 5. There's a very nice episode, which I hope we can relish a little bit.
So it starts off by saying, Vrindavan Das Thakur says, all glories to the devotees, beloved Lord Vishwambar, which is Lord Chaitanya, of course, whose lotus feet are marked with the flag, thunderbolt, and gold, and goad, elephant goad. He is the Lord of all lords. One day, Jagannath Mishra called to Vishwambar, my dear son, please bring my book. Hearing his father's words, Vishwambar ran into the room and the sound of ankle bells was heard as he moved. Jagannath Mishra said, from where is the sound of ankle bells coming? The Brahmana couple then began to look around. My son is not wearing ankle bells, so where has the sweet sound of ankle bells come from? They both considered the incident to be most strange and they were unable to speak. The Lord gave the book to his father and then went outside to play. But when the couple went inside the room, they experienced another wonder. Excuse me. All over the room, they saw extraordinary footprints decorated with signs like the flag, thunderbolt, goad, and banner. Maybe one day we'll see on the temple room floor here if Jagat Priya can persuade Krishna to come down. And, she's the most likely one to be able to do that. They both became filled with ecstasy on seeing those incomparable footprints. Their hair stood on end and tears flowed from their eyes. They both offered obeisances to those lotus footprints and said, we are delivered. We will not take another birth. Jagannath Mishra said, listen, mother of Vishwarup, go and cook some fried rice with ghee for our shalagram. Tomorrow morning I will bathe our Damodar shalagram with panchagavya. And you know what panchagavya is? It's milk, yogurt, ghee, cow urine, and cow dung. So they would bathe with these five products from the cow. So he thought, I can understand that our shalagram is walking around the room. That is why we heard the sound of ankle bells. So they didn't think it was Vishwambar who was walking around with the sound of making the sound of ankle bells. In this way, they both worshipped Shalagram Shila with great satisfaction, and the Lord smiled within. Now please hear another wonderful pastime performed by the son of Jagannath. One day, one most pious mendicant Brahmana was wandering to various holy places in search of Krishna, which we should all be doing in search of Krishna. Yoga Nidra is affecting Srinivas here. He worshipped the Lord with the six-syllable Gopal mantra, and he would eat only what he had first offered to Gopal. In the course of visiting the various holy places, that fortunate Brahmana arrived by providence at the house of the Lord. That matchless, effulgent Brahmana had a deity of Balagopal and a shalagram shila hanging from his neck. He constantly chanted the name of Krishna, where he kept his eyes half closed, and internally relished ecstatic love for Govinda. When Jagannath Mishra saw the effulgent Brahmana, he respectfully stood up and then offered obeisances. Jagannath Mishra received the Brahmana with the etiquette due to a guest.
He personally washed the Brahmana's feet and then offered him a proper seat. After the Brahmana was comfortably seated, Jagannath Mishra asked him, "What is your residence?" The Brahmana replied, "I am a wandering mendicant. I go wherever my restless mind takes me." With folded hands, Jagannath Mishra said, "Your traveling is for the benefit of the world. Today I'm especially fortunate. Please order me and I will go arrange for your cooking." The Brahmana replied, "Please do whatever you feel suitable." Jagannath Mishra then happily arranged all sorts of palatable ingredients. Jagannath Mishra and Satyadevi nicely cleaned the kitchen and kept all the ingredients ready for cooking. Satisfied with the arrangement, the Brahmana cooked and then sat down to make an offering. Sri Satyanandana, the supersoul of all living entities, then decided to give darshan to the Brahmana. As soon as the great Brahmana began to meditate, Sri Gaurasundara came before him. The Lord was naked, and all of his limbs were covered with dust. His eyes were reddish, and his hands and feet were most beautiful. The Lord smiled and took a handful of the Brahmana's rice. He then ate the rice as the Brahmana watched. The fortunate Brahmana cried out, "Alas, alas, this naughty boy has stolen the rice." Jagannath Mishra came there and saw Sri Gaurasundara was smiling as he ate the Brahmana's rice. In anger, Jagannath Mishra rushed to beat the Lord. The Brahmana, however, got up and apprehensively caught hold of Jagannath Mishra's hand. "Mishra, you are supposed to be a cultured Aryan. What is the use of beating this ignorant boy? Only one who can distinguish between right and wrong can be beaten. Therefore, I forbid you from beating this child." So obviously, nobody there was thinking that this is the Supreme Lord. Jagannath Mishra then sat down in distress, holding his head with his hands. He could not speak or lift his head. The Brahmana said, "My dear Mishra, please don't feel sad. Whatever is meant to happen on a particular day is known only to the Lord. Please bring whatever fruits and roots are there in your house, and I will eat those today." Jagannath Mishra said, If you at all consider me your servant, then please cook again. I will make all arrangements. We have all the ingredients for cooking in the house. Please cook again, then I will feel satisfied." All the friends and relatives of Jagannath Mishra present there also requested the Brahmana, "Please be merciful on us and cook again." The Brahmana said, "All right, according to your desire, I will certainly cook again." They didn't suspect that the same thing may happen again. Everyone there was happy to hear the Brahmana's decision, and they immediately cleaned the kitchen. They quickly assembled all the ingredients, and the Brahmana began to cook. Everyone concluded, "This child is very restless and may spoil the offering again. Therefore, please take him to another house until the Brahmana finishes cooking and eating." Satyadevi then took her son in her arms and went to the neighbor's house. All the ladies there said, "Listen, Nimai, you shouldn't have eaten the Brahmana's rice like that." The Lord smiled with his moonlight face and replied, "What is my fault? The Brahmana called me." Everyone then said, "Oh, deceitful Nimai, what will you do now that you have lost your caste? Who knows that Brahmana? What is his caste? Where is he from? Now that you have eaten his rice, how will you maintain your caste?" The Lord smiled and said, "I am a coward boy, and I always eat rice cooked by Brahmanas." So he's saying, actually, he's actually Krishna, isn't he? "How can a coward boy lose his caste by eating a Brahmana's rice?" Saying this, the Lord looked at everyone and smiled. In this way, the Lord revealed his identity while speaking deceptively. But by the influence of his maya, no one could understand him. Everyone laughed upon hearing the Lord's explanation. No one wanted to set him down from their embrace. As the Lord smiled and sat on him on various people's laps, whoever held him merged in an ocean of bliss. Meanwhile, the Brahmana finished cooking again, so he sat down to make the offering. In meditation, the Brahmana called Balagopal to eat, and Lord Gaurasundara, the supersoul, immediately came to know this. Putting everyone into illusion, the Lord secretly came before the Brahmana with a smile on his face. Unseen by others, the Lord then took a handful of rice and ate it as the Brahmana watched. The Brahmana immediately cried, "Alas, alas!" And the Lord, after eating the rice, fled away. Enraged, Jagannath Mishra got up, took a stick in his hand, and chased after the Lord in anger. The Lord fearfully fled into another room, with Jagannath Mishra chasing behind him and chastising him in anger. Jagannath Mishra said, "Just wait and see what I'll do to you today. Although I'm an Aryan, you consider me a fool. Who has such a thief for a son?" Saying this, Jagannath Mishra chased after the Lord in anger. Everyone present tried to restrain Mishra, but he said, "Leave me alone, today I'll beat him." They then pleaded, "Oh Mishra, you are by nature magnanimous. What kind of intelligence would you exhibit by beating him? He doesn't understand what is right and what is wrong. Whoever beats such a child is a great fool. He will not learn simply by being beaten. Children are all restless by nature." At that time, the mendicant Brahmana hastily came there. Holding the hands of Jagannath Mishra, he spoke, "Listen, Mishra, this child is not at fault. Whatever is meant to happen on a particular day will certainly take place. Today, Krishna has not allotted me any rice. I'm telling you this. This is my realization." Feeling distressed, Jagannath Mishra was unable to raise his head. He looked at the ground and simply lamented. At that time, the most powerful and effulgent Vishwarup came there. There is no comparison to the matchless sweetness of Vishwarup's bodily limbs. A Brahmana thread hung on his shoulder. He is the source of the Brahmana effulgence, and though in a different form, he is directly Lord Nityananda. The purport of all literatures, of all scriptures, is eternally manifest on the tongue of Vishwarup. Thus he is always engaged in preaching devotional service to Lord Krishna. So just to cut it a little short, Vishwarup basically persuades the Brahmana that he should cook again. And so because Vishwarup is so effulgent and such a great personality, the Brahmana agreed. And agreed to cook again after the request of Vishwarup. The Brahman said, "I have already cooked twice, yet Krishna has still not allowed me to eat. I have therefore understood that he has not allotted any rice for me today. If Krishna's sanction is not there, why should we endeavor? It is practically the middle of the night. Is it proper to cook at this time? Therefore, do not make any further arrangements." But Vishwarup said, "There will be no fault if you cook. Everyone will be satisfied." Saying this, Vishwarup caught hold of the Brahmana's feet, and everyone else also requested him to cook. So he was enchanted by Vishwarup, and the Brahmana replied, "All right, I'll cook." Everyone expressed their satisfaction by chanting the name of Hari. He then quickly cleared the kitchen and brought all the ingredients for cooking. The Brahmana then began to cook, and everyone escorted Nimai to another room. Jagannath Mishra sat in front of the door where the child was detained. Everyone said, "Look, lock the door from the outside so that he cannot get out." Jagannath Mishra said, "That's a good idea." Thus Jagannath Mishra and others sat outside after latching the door. From inside the room, the ladies said, "Don't worry, Nimai is sleeping, he won't do anything now." As they guarded the child in this way, the Brahmana soon finished cooking. The pious Brahmana prepared a plate for offering and then sat in meditation and offered the food to Krishna. The super soul, Sri Satchinandana, knew everything. He had already decided to give darshan to the Brahmana. Thus, by the will of the Supreme Lord, Nidra Devi, the goddess of sleep, cast her spell so that everyone fell into deep sleep. Sri Satchinandana then went to the place where the Brahmana was making his offering. On seeing the child, the Brahmana cried out, "Alas! Alas!" But no one heard him, for they were all fast asleep. The Lord said, "O Brahmana, you are indeed magnanimous. You call me, so what is my fault? You chant my mantra and invite me, so I cannot resist coming to you." At that time, the Lord exhibited a wonderful eight-armed form to the Brahmana. In four hands, he held a conch shell, disc, club, and lotus flower. In one hand, he held a pot of butter, from which he ate with another hand. Then, with two hands, he played a flute. He was decorated with the mark of Srivatsa, while a Kastuba gem and a jeweled necklace hung on his chest. All of his limbs were decorated with jeweled ornaments. His head was decorated with a garland of fresh gunja seeds and a peacock feather. His moonlight face was beautified by his red lips. The Lord smiled as he rolled his eyes. His Vaijayanti flower garland and shark-shaped earrings swayed to and fro. His lotus face were adorned by jeweled ankle bells, and all the darkness was dissipated by the shining of his toenails. The Brahmana also saw the abode of Vrindavan filled with wonderful kadamba trees and the chirping of various birds. He saw cowherd boys and girls in all directions. Indeed, whatever he had meditated on, he saw manifest before him. So this is where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his actual form, or as Krishna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then he made the Brahmana promise that he wouldn't reveal this to anybody. So I thought this was a nice episode where we can see how the Lord is not revealing himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead normally, but where he does on occasions. So as yet, this is not known by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, but it will be in due course of time. He will understand that Krishna is the Supreme, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead as well. So I'll finish there. Are there any comments or questions?
Hi Krishna, thank you so much for your class. Very, very interesting and nice references. It just, as you were speaking, it just made me have this thought. It's probably not directed to any point mentioned specifically, but I was just thinking, what hope do we have? Because you were mentioning about, you know, how Krishna becomes subordinate to those who, you know, view him as inferior or, you know, as equals and stuff, because they probably are not having that knowledge, I'm assuming, of his supremacy. But we are practicing, and the foundation of our practice is the Lord's supremacy. So is it in our practice, as we keep on practicing, knowing that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that as we're practicing, we'll be able to reveal those, have those emotions or that transcendental sentiment while still in this body, having that realization? Or is that something that will happen after we leave this body?
I'm sure there are devotees who will have that realization in this lifetime. It depends on the individual.
So it's possible to have, even with this foundation of Krishna's Supreme Personality of Godhead, Swayam Bhagavan, the Shastra says, we can still have that.
Thinking he is inferior?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it's possible, but it will be very rare, I would say. I don't know. Did Srila Prabhupada consider Krishna as inferior? I don't know. Depends. Depends on his original form, I suppose. And maybe not at all times. At different times. But it is possible, I'm sure. There's some who are just completely into their swaroop, even within this lifetime. But for most of us, I think we probably have to leave this body. I mean, I don't have personal experience.
I'm thinking from Namuni, when he speaks in Bhagavatam, he mentions in, I think it's the first canto, that after he left the his body, that he was in, you know, when his mother had left. And then when he got that form of transcendence, so he had a full realization. So I always thought it's after, you know, in the current present.
It may be. But I think it's, anyway, it's possible. I can't give any reference there, so nothing.
Shiva Ramaraj addresses this in his new book, which I was just reading. He was saying that Vaidhi Bhakti actually leads to Vaikuntha. If we carry on practicing Vaidhi Bhakti, we go to Vaikuntha. But Raghunuga Bhakti, pure devotion, leads to Goloka Vrindavan. But the path of Vaidhi Bhakti leads to Raghunuga by practicing this before we begin. So it is possible in the same body to, like you said, you can experience.
Thank you, some authority. Anything else? Anybody?
Janani Das was quoting about the scarcity of devotees in this world, And it says in Bhagavad Gita, there are very few who come to understand the Supreme. But what he did, he put it in such a light that he says, how many are in this world following the devotional path? Or trying to follow the devotional path? Very few. So, ask yourself the question. This qualification is to be part of the few.
Part of?
The few.
The few.
In other words, continue. Because you're part of those few in terms of what Krishna's saying in that Bhagavad Gita quote. So there's also that to understand, that it's not clear cut, but we should. He gave another viewpoint, is to stay part of the few. And then you'll fulfill Krishna's prediction. It's Jai, that's what I said.
Anything else from anybody? Gandharva Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Nitya Guru.